back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org. Or you can just go to the main site at www.remnantofgod.org and click the Contact Us link on the main page. If you would like copies of this program, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archives of that page. You can listen online to past programs or download the MP3s, or you can order them. Of the CDs as well. You can also get copies of this broadcast and others like it at Pastor Sessler's site at lightministries.com. Welcome back, Brother Rob. We were discussing salvation. I'm pretty sure we're kind of done on that topic, if I'm not mistaken, where we're headed now in this part of the broadcast.
Yeah, we were, where we ended off was on the subject of coming to Christ just as we are.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, as you mentioned before, we can't wait too long.
No.
You know, we're to avoid the deception of believing that God and His great love and mercy will yet save even the rejecters of His grace.
Hmm.
You know, the exceeding sinfulness of sin can only be estimated in the light of the cross.
I know, because it's, if sin wasn't that drastic, if it wasn't that of a big deal, then why did he have to die?
Exactly.
You know, it is a graphic abomination unto the Father. I mean, and the nice thing about our Heavenly Father is His mercy is just as high as His justice. I mean, even the way the sanctuary is set up as well. You got the grate around the altar of burnt offering is the exact same size as the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
And so His mercy is just as high as His judgment, is justice.
That's right. That's right. So when people urge that God is too good to cast off the sinner, just let them look to Calvary.
Yeah.
It was because there was no other way in which man could be saved that Christ volunteered to die on Calvary.
Yeah. And if they deny that, you know, if they say, "Oh, you know, he's still too good to let me burn in hell," this is, well, if he didn't allow his own son to step off the cross, you know, because he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, then you're spitting on that son.
Yeah.
You're literally saying, "I don't need him." And then you're going to look for a way out at the last minute. It's just not going to work.
That's right. That's right. You know, without this infinite sacrifice on the cross, it was impossible for the human race to escape the defiling power of sin and be restored to communion with holy beings.
Yeah.
It was impossible for them to become partakers of the spiritual life. And it's because of this fact that Christ took upon himself the guilt of the disobedient and suffered in our place. So the love, the suffering, and the death of the Son of God testifies to the terrible enormity of sin and declares that there is no escape from its power, no hope of a better and higher life, but only through the submission of your soul to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, Adam and Eve persuaded themselves that in so such small a matter as eating the forbidden fruit, there cannot possibly be the terrible consequences that God had declared would be. But this small matter was the transgression of God's holy law.
Yeah.
And it separated them from God and opened the floodgates of death and untold woe upon our world.
Yeah, the moment they bit into that fruit is when they started, they contracted a fatal illness called aging. Literally.
So, you know, Calvary stands as the memorial of the amazing sacrifice that was required to atone for man's transgression of God's law. So let us not regard sin as a trivial matter. Sin cost the infinite price of the life of God's Son in order to redeem you and me from it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, you know, instead of accepting an intellectual religion or a form of godliness when your heart is not cleansed thereby, instead let it be your prayer for God to create in you a clean heart,
mm-hmm.
do a right spirit within you. Let's deal truly with our own souls. Let us be earnest and persistent as we would be if our mortal life were at stake.
Because it is. Literally.
This is a matter that needs to be settled between God and yourself, and a supposed hope and nothing more will prove your eternal ruin.
Yeah, and like you said, it is between God and yourself. It's not between God and what your pastor or your priest or your preacher or your Christian buddy tells you is right and wrong. I mean, you can't stand before the Lord in, you know, on quote unquote judgment day, when, you know, like in other words, claiming that it is not your fault. It is because what he told you or she told you or whatever. It is a personal relationship with Christ. If someone is lying to you and you can't take that chance by, you know, following them rather than doing as the Bereans did, where they would, you know, listen to the preachers and they would go back into the scriptures to see if these things were so. You can't take that chance. It's your life at stake. You can't put it in the hands of somebody else.
That's true. That's true. And it's too late in the day.
Yeah. We don't have time to waste.
No, that's true. That's true. So, friends, let's start digging into God's Word with a prayerful heart to know and understand what He has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that that Word presents, in the law of God and the law and the life of Christ, the great principles of holiness or right doing, which no man shall see the Lord without holiness, as we're told in Hebrews 12:14. The Word of God will convince of sin, and it plainly reveals the way of salvation. So give heed to God's Word as the voice of God speaking directly to you, and as you obey it through the power and grace and strength of Christ, you will be cleansed and set free from the power of sin with God working in your life.
It is amazing how He does help you, too, because every Christian, especially Christians that have had a few years walking with Him, they can all testify and tell you how He does help you.
Yes.
You see His hand move in your life. You do realize you have met Him, you know?
Right.
And He does make Himself known. It's very obvious to the Christian.
And we do have a part to play in our salvation. In Psalms 119, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word."
Mm-hmm.
And then in Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure."
You know, and you know how the devil twists that one around in these last days. I don't know if you want to get into this now or later, but there are denominations out there that declare that once you're saved, that's it, you're guaranteed heaven.
Yeah, that's true. But that's not according to Bible.
Mm-mm. No.
And we must test everything that people bring to us purporting to be truth by the Word of God. You know, Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them."
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Mm-hmm.
So it's by grace that we're saved through faith. Now, what is grace given to us for? And many people overlook this fact. Why does God give us grace? Grace is given for obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't understand that. In Romans 1:5 it says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name." So grace is given to us for obedience. So there's a part that we play. Now you mentioned that many believe that once we're saved, we're always saved. In other words, once we grab hold of salvation, we can never lose it.
Yeah, that's...
But that's not what the Bible teaches.
No.
In Romans 2:7 it says, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." So Paul says that we're to seek for salvation by patient continuance in well-doing, which means we don't have it yet. It's something we're seeking for.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the road for salvation, but we're not yet saved on this road. Another verse, in James 1, verse 12, it says that, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that loved Him."
Mm-hmm.
So we must endure temptation before we gain the crown of life.
It's amazing, you know, because I when I was doing the street preaching years and years ago, when I was young in the faith, and I would come across questions on the street,
mm-hmm.
and I would always mark down the question, and I would go and do Bible studies, and I would find verses that would answer the question, so that when I got hit with the question again, I would be able to answer it with no problem. I would carry this list around with me. It had 85 questions that were asked or sometimes screamed at me.
Wow, 85.
Yeah, I got up to about 85 before I stopped doing it. That's when I started using computers and putting things in a database. It was amazing how when I would come across so many that would say once under grace, always under grace, or once saved, always saved kind of a thing, and I kept doing Bible studies to try to find more and more. I got up to, like, I think 38 verses before I said, you know, this is enough. 38 verses that overwhelmingly declared that the once under grace, always under grace is a lie. I mean, you know, the once saved, always saved is a, you know, is a deception, yeah. And I couldn't believe 38. I mean, like, if you, you know, because you can't build a doctrine on one verse. And so I always look for two or three or four or five to try to double verify to show to the people that, you know, this is what the scriptures are saying. It's not kidding. It's found here. It's found there. It's found here.
Right.
But when I got up to about 38, you know, I thought this should do it.
That should be sufficient evidence.
Yeah. I actually put that list that I used to carry around. I still got it somewhere in an old Bible, but it's on the website now. It's on the FAQ page in the frequently asked questions. It's in the Bible truth section of the website, and I sectioned it off where they can go to each question. And all it is just verse locations. It doesn't have them all printed out.
I urge our listeners to visit that, because the Bible makes it so plain that once we accept Christ as our Savior, we're on the pathway toward salvation.
Amen.
We're not saved at that point.
Nope.
You know, in Matthew 10:22 and also Matthew 24:13, it says that if we endure to the end, we shall be saved.
Endure to the end.
That's right. And 1 Peter 1:9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So our salvation is at the end of our faith, not the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The devil just has it twisted around.
Exactly.
Salvation at the beginning of your faith, or the beginning of your walk with the Lord. And thus, if you believe you're already saved, then you lose your attentiveness. You lose your perseverance and your endurance, and you say, I've already made it. I can sit back and relax.
Yeah.
And the devil has you.
Yeah, he's got you then. He's got that, you know, it's amazing how. And he can use scripture to do it just by flip-flopping a theology on it or doctrinal truth.
That's right. Well, that's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Mm-hmm.
So we must keep the faith in order to have salvation.
Amen. It is
Paul likens this issue to a race that we're all called in Christ to run.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, it's only those who finish the race that gain the crown of life. And then he says, so run that ye may obtain. So we're to run this race, and at the end, if we've shown ourselves faithful and we've kept the doctrine and continued in the law of God through his grace and strength, we will receive the crown of the victor.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get the victory at the beginning of the race.
Yeah, I don't see people walking around with the crowns on now, and I certainly don't see them, you know, because I've run into an awful lot that have that theology that I have been approached, and there's certain things that have been shared with me that I will not repeat on the air in regards to saying, you don't have to worry, you're guaranteed salvation anyway, so you can do this, you can do. I even had a Baptist preacher who told me that you're guaranteed no matter what you do, and I says, well, what if I was to commit like adultery or murder or whatever, you know, some really insane sin? And he goes, well, don't worry about it. You're still going to go to heaven. You'll just be walking around in heaven like a drone for all eternity. I says, excuse me? He says, yeah, you know, kind of like the less fortunate folks on the planet here that we call retarded. You would be in heaven for all eternity in that stage.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, that doesn't make sense. You know, that doesn't sound like heaven, you know, at all. I couldn't believe he said that to me. But that's the mindset of many of them, that you just can't lose it.
Yeah, no, that's Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2:20-22, it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them."
Wow. That sounds like Hebrews chapter 6, too, with verses 4 to 8.
Yeah. So, you know, Paul continues and brings up a couple proverbs, Peter continues and says, "It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again."
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he vomited it out of him, and he's now clean, but he goes right back to it.
Yeah. And dogs do that, too. I've seen them do that.
I know, it's gross.
Yeah.
and it says, "And the sow that was washed goes back to her wallowing in the mire."
Mm-hmm.
So if after we have accepted Christ as our Savior and are following in the knowledge of the truth, if we should then go back to our old life and give it up, we no longer have salvation.
No.
We're back to wallowing in the mire.
It's like Luke 9:62. It's those who put their hands to the plow but keep looking back are not fit for the kingdom of God.
True.
Once you start the walk and you turn, it's just like Lot's wife turning around and looking back. You want what you had.
Yeah. Now, everyone will admit that Paul was saved. I mean, he was an apostle. He did the most for reaching out to the Gentiles. But even Paul was concerned that he might lose salvation.
Yeah.
He says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, "But I keep under my body," in other words, I keep my body under control.
Under subjection.
"Into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway."
Now that's powerful, because they all think that, you know, he's guaranteed heaven. If he's guaranteed heaven, why would he say those words?
That's true. So, again, the Bible does not teach that once we're saved, we're always saved. In other words, once we accept Christ as our Savior, we're guaranteed salvation no matter what we do. But if we continue in the doctrine, continue in Christ, abiding in him and doing his will, then we have salvation if we're faithful to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Christ even said in Matthew 8:12 that some of the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Wow, children of the kingdom,
yeah,
cast into outer darkness? Why? Because they didn't continue in Christ.
Yeah, and that's not drones. That's outer darkness.
That's true. True. Yeah. And John mentions in 2 John 1:9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God."
Hmm.
So if we start out in the doctrine of Christ and then we give it up, we don't have God anymore, and thus we don't have salvation.
Yeah. Amen. The other toss of the coin was I was approached, and what we've been discussing for the last 10, 15 minutes kind of like just blows the doors off of this theology, but I, just for the sake of repeating it, I think it's necessary to share it, is where I've had folks tell me that, if they've backslidden, they were never a Christian in the first place.
No, that's incorrect.
Yeah, because of what you see in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, what I shared earlier, I'd like to share it.
Sure.
It says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew again unto them, you know, repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them to whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." And so what they're telling me, because I asked about, you know, how can this theology work in regards to the scripture when you're saying that this person had the Holy Spirit at one time and they can never lose it?
Yeah.
But yet the scripture says they did have the Holy Spirit, because he's saying, no, they probably never really had it in the first place. He says, well, according to Hebrews, they did. There are people that have had it and have turned their backs on him.
Yeah. Sad to say that is true.
I know.
You know, Christ brought out the same point. In John 15, verses 1 to 6, he goes, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me," so now we're talking about branches mean people, every person that is in Christ now, in other words, they've connected with salvation, "every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away."
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they no longer have salvation. They've been taking taken away because they did not bear fruit to God's glory. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
Yeah.
So if we were once in Christ, and then we decide that we're no longer going to follow in the way of righteousness, we're going to go back to our old man experience, and we do not bear fruit to God's glory, but we bear fruit to the devil's glory, then God's going to take us away, and we're going to be burned in the fire. In other words, we lose salvation.
Yeah, that's why there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping, of course, is for those that thought they were going to make it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's why Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Then he says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, in other words, fell from grace, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness.
Yeah, his
otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off.
His justice is as high as his mercy, his goodness and severity. It's amazing. That's what people can't think. It says, you know, that guy, like I had a study one time years ago where I had to do one for a few folks that believe that God cannot hate. You know,
mm-hmm.
He can't do the hellfire thing. And it's the exact opposite of the truth. Yeah.
That's correct. So, you know, we've dealt with what must we do to be saved. We've dealt with that once we accept Christ as our Savior, we have begun the path that leads to salvation. We don't have salvation yet. And we've learned that if we're on this path and we should then change our course and go back to the ways and reject Christ, that we lose our chance for salvation. It leads us right back to the question, what must we do to be saved?
Yeah.
We must come to Christ just as we are.
Amen.
And not wait any longer. You know, and as we compare our lives with Christ's life and we see the enormity of our sin, and you know, we recognize how wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked that we are. Let's not give up in despair. It was sinners that Christ came to save. You know, we don't have to reconcile God to us, but
Amen.
God is in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God is wooing by his tender love the hearts of you and me, as erring as we are. And no earthly parent could be as patient with the faults and mistakes of his children as God is with those whom he seeks to save. No one could plead more tenderly with the transgressor than God does.
Amen.
You know, and all his promises, his warnings, are but the breathing of an infinite, unutterable love for you and me.
Yeah.
So when Satan comes to tell you that you are a great sinner and that it's no use to try to serve God because you've gone too far, just look up to your Redeemer and see the light and the love. Talk of his merits. Talk of what he did for you on Calvary and what he's doing for you now. Acknowledge your sin, and then you can tell the enemy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, and we have indeed been great sinners, but Christ died that we might be completely forgiven.
Amen. We got 30 seconds left, brother. If there's anything that you could share with our listeners to help them grab hold of Christ and you know,
yes.
Please share.
Christ is ready to set you free from sin, but he will not force your will. And if by persistent transgression your will is wholly bent on evil and there is no desire to be set free from sin, and you will not accept his grace, what more can he do for you? You have ultimately destroyed yourself because of your determined rejection of his love. But this terrible fate does not need to be your destiny. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. That's it this week, everyone. Thank you for being here again, brother. I pray everyone was blessed by this broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. And for those that can't, go to remnantofgod.org or lightministries.com, and you can get a copy of the broadcast there. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry saying until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening, and remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.